It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com. Hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex. And you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast, number 41. Hey, today I actually know the number. Why? Because I just edited the podcast that is going to go up probably tomorrow, which is Wednesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday, July 5th. Wow, I know some things today. Usually I don't know dates and names and numbers, but for some reason today I do. I don't, because I just got that wrong. Tomorrow is July 9th, Wednesday, because if it was July 5th, it would be after the 4th of July, and the 4th of July was on Friday. So yeah. Anyways, I probably got that wrong too, so I guess I just proved myself wrong. I proved what I already knew, that I was somewhat of an idiot. making stuff, making comics. The podcast that I'm actually currently uploading to my website, hopefully it might already be done by now, but I set it to go, you know, after at lunchtime or whatever, and so yeah, that podcast is an interview with my buddy Shannon Owens, also known as Liriz, and we were talking about, he's the guy who's writing the Travelers comic, I'm collaborating with. So that was really cool. First time me and him actually, like, talked, you know, we talked over Skype. Usually we kind of met over the internet through people that we both know in the hip-hop community, and, you know, he started following me eventually, and I started following him, and I think, you know, he saw me posting all this art and stuff, and he's into comics, and every once in a while he'd pop over and write a comment about some geeky thing that we're both into with comics or something, and you know, eventually he happened to come up on this idea of creating a comic, and you know, he hit me up, and I decided to do the collab with him, and thought it was a cool idea. So yeah, we talked about that, and that was really fun to do that. He showed me his geek collection too, as well, kind of behind the scenes, but even part of the podcast you hear it a little bit. Hopefully that part wasn't too boring. I put a picture in the show notes, or I'm going to. I'm talking like it's in the past when it's actually in the future. I'm going to put a picture in the post of that episode where shows like one of the things he got in part of his collection that we're talking about when that we're still running the recording. So if you want to see it, check it out. Go to the site. It's not a great picture. It's a screen capture of Skype, so, you know, it's that quality. But, yeah. So, yeah, I've been doing that. Been focusing on, you know, doing the 100 Days of Comics still, which has been, you know, pretty much I went over that a few podcasts ago. Also, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed the Jeff Lafferty interview two podcasts ago, because that, you know, that was really inspiring to do and record, and I've been inspired by his stuff, and I was just so excited to get him on the show and, you know, kind of pick his brain about what he's been up to. And I like to have a topic when I do interviews, but it seems like I haven't been 100% doing that. I've been more, like, I guess what I do is I do an interview style thing, but while I'm interviewing, I try to dip in and dig in a little deeper into some of the topics, whereas, like, you know, I might have some interviewers might ask a question, and then once the person answers it, they go on to the next question. Well, I'm trying the style of interviewing where you dig deeper into the question and suss out some of the topics. And I don't know if I've done a good job of it or not, but, you know, I'm trying it. And I think it's been fun, and I think we've been able to get topical, even though these things have been more interviewee type of things. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. Let me know if you're not. Maybe I'll try to do something different. If you are, then I'll continue. I do enjoy doing interviews. It's really hard to schedule. Luckily, these last two ones were really easy to schedule because it just so, with Shannon, it just so happened that we both had a similar time that we could do it. Like, he asked me about it, and we did it the next morning, and he just happened to be available, so that was cool. And with Jeff, you know, he right now is working from home, so I think it's a lot easier, even though he's really, really super busy. I think it's a lot easier for him to say, yeah, I'm going to carve out, you know, an hour here, a couple hours to do this podcast. So, and, you know, that's part of his business too, I'm sure. You know, he wants to be on as many different, you know, outlets so that he can get the word out about what he's doing so he can continue to make a living doing this. And man, I really applaud the guy for taking that leap. And, you know, I don't think you should just take that leap normally, but in his case, I do agree that it was a good decision because he's already got something going. He already knows that he can make money doing this. You know, I mean, some of it's a leap of faith, but at the same time, he's already done it. You know, he's done it before with the sketch cards, and, you know, he's got a lot of side money, you know, as well through his art, but he just doesn't have the time to do it. So, again, I'm sitting here talking about him. You know, you can check out his YouTube, and you'll hear all of this stuff, you know. And it's really, I mean, I just listened to one of his videos today, it's more like a podcast, so, you know, the art's amazing, but, you know, it's like, I don't have to pay 100% attention to the art because it's, you know, he's working on a small part of a one piece, but I've gone through this before. I don't know why I'm repeating myself, but check out his videos, definitely. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing, and then, like I said, I've been doing the 100 Days of Comics, and a few episodes back, you can hear my thoughts on that. Pretty much the same thoughts, because I'm still doing the same things. Still having a rough time figuring out how to do character designs for these characters. Roughing out pages. I'm up to page, I think I worked on 8 yesterday. So I'm just getting these pages done. One thing that just occurred to me now is it'll be cool, even though they're, I mean, I'm literally drawing stick figures. Like, I'm not, well, a little more than stick figures. I at least draw the body shape a little bit. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, arms and stuff. I'm drawing stick figures. I'm not even, in some of the parts I was doing a little perspective work and stuff, I'm not even doing that yet at this point with most of these roughs. I'm literally just pacing out the story, putting the panels in the way I think that they should go. And who knows, even that sometimes might change, but I think it's, for the most part, the panels are the way they're going to be. And the drawings, like I said, they're not much more than stick figures. But it still takes me about, you know, I do my half an hour, and, you know, I get about a page and a half done usually. Even with just stick figures, because there's a lot of thought that goes into it. I have to go back and forth and read the script and make sure I get just little details in. And then I, you know, have to think about word balloons, and sometimes I get stuck. But, you know, it's kind of just laying down a map. But I do think what did just occur to me is it will be kind of cool to get all the way to the last page doing these roughs. I think that'll be kind of fun because, and it'll help that overwhelming sense of overwhelmingness or whatever be not so bad. You know, it'll be a little more containable or something. So, I don't know. I feel like that'll be a really good thing, you know, because I'll know exactly what's going on now for every single page. I mean, I might do some modifications here and there, but now all I have to, I don't have to think about that part anymore, you know, which is like the biggest part. And then once I'm, you know, done with that, I can go back and start doing some pencils, which will be my tight, quote-unquote tight pencils, but my tight pencils are super loose. I don't really get tight until I go to the inking stage, so I'm going to be literally just shaping things out. I'll probably put some details in here or there, things like that. I'm probably going to, I don't know, I'm kind of going back and forth about whether I'm going to do a detailed style or a simple style, and I want to favor going to a simple style, and I don't know. I don't really know that I don't know. I like realistic looking stuff, and I like cartoony stuff. I rather read stuff that's a little more, not real, I don't know if the realistic is the way to put it, but like detailed. Like Jonathan Rector, his stuff, in some respects, yes, it's realistic, like it's got the detail, you can see the faces and stuff, have detail and this and that, but it's super fantastic, you know, it's not like, it's not realistic in the fact that, you know, the characters are crazy and there's like monsters and this and that, you know, superhero stuff, people flying, whatever, like, so, I don't know, but that's kind of the style I like, basically Jonathan Rector type of stuff or whatever, you know, the typical superhero stuff, I guess, but a little more cartoony. I do like when they're kind of look realistic, but they're a little more cartoony. Now, for me, though, I'm not, like, you guys see some of the posts I put, like, it does look like I'm good at realistic sometimes. You know, I mean, I still got a long way to go, but, I'm no Jeff Lafferty. just joking around. But yeah, I mean, I don't, in all honesty, I just don't have the discipline yet or the, you know, skill at this point to really get into those nice, subtle details that, like, someone like Jeff would get into. And I don't know if I ever want to go quite that realistic anyways, with my comics. But, you know, if you watch my posts and stuff, you see that a lot of times I'll do a lot of cross-hatching. And, you know, I like to have fun, like, working from different references. And, you know, I'm learning in that way. But when I don't have, like, you know, I don't have time to, like, collect reference, you know, poses for every shot in the comic or anything. And, you know, you're not going to get as much detail because I'm drawing more from imagination and constructing body, you know, the body and the head and stuff with like construction lines and stuff. And, so, you know, it's different. So it's not going to be super realistic, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just try to stick to the style I've been drawing in, where it's kind of cartoony, but there's a little bit of details in there, here and there. I don't know. But I definitely want it to look better, you know, than my mini comics. And even in the third mini comic that I, you know, I only got like partially way through drawing, there's even a step up on there compared to what I did in the first two mini comics. And then with this, I have learned a lot more and I'll be drawing a lot bigger, so, you know, I'm gonna have room to put detail in, but at the same time, I'm having a, like, when it comes to coloring the comic, I mean, I don't know if we're gonna hire somebody or if I'm gonna do it, or, Shannon said he might even try to learn how to do it, but it's, I don't know, to me, coloring is harder than a lot of the other things to do, but And my thing is, too, I don't have a lot of time to, like, sit in front of a computer and do anything. So, you know, usually if I'm working on my comic, it has to be, well, that, and that's the thing, doing this 30 minutes, I do carve out time to sit at a desk. So I can, you know, on many days sit in front of a computer if that's what needs to be done. So maybe I will try to do it. I probably could really use the experience. But that plays into the style as well, you know. If I want to make it easier on myself, I'll keep the drawing simple with very little, like, cross-hatching type of stuff, if any. And, you know, keep all the lines closed so there's no, like, open spots where, so I can easily just, like, do color fills and stuff. And I have to learn how to do that better. I think there's a tutorial that Jonathan Rector actually does about coloring. He's probably gone over it a bunch of times in his videos, but I think I got to start looking into that and learning that, because, I mean, his colors, to me, are awesome, and he's not, you know, necessarily a colorist. You know, I don't know if he colors any of the comics he does or not. Like, I know he colors a lot of the kind of pinup type stuff he does, but I don't know if he's coloring, like, the standard or not as well. Maybe he is, but, you know, I don't think he, you know, coloring for him, I would assume, I mean, I don't know, I'm not trying to speak for him, but I would assume it's somewhat of an afterthought, in the fact that he, you know, he's obviously got a passion for drawing, you know, and I think that's where he really wants to focus and be awesome at. And I think the coloring has been, I would assume, if it's anything like the way I've approached it, it's probably out of necessity, maybe. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does have a passion for coloring. Who knows? Probably you guys do, because you guys probably watch his videos more than me. I really have to get on top of, I have to start watching his videos, actually, because I used to not just, the reason why I didn't watch his videos is they were long, and I just didn't watch long YouTube videos. I barely even watched any videos on YouTube a lot of times, because it just takes time, and I can't spare my eyes as much as I can spare my ears, you know what I mean? I have a lot more time for my ears to be listening to some stuff, but now that I've started listening to YouTube videos, regularly, I mean, his stuff is pretty visual, but he does have a lot of tips, and I think I can learn a lot even from listening and then go back and watch the parts that I need to watch. So I think I'm going to start listening to some of his scribble jams, or what are they? Scribbles with Jonathan, something like that. So, yeah. That being said, yeah, so that was, the whole point of that was to just talk about what's the style I'm going to really draw in. And I think I'm going to keep it to, like, I don't know, I probably would be smart to keep it to a kind of realistic look, but not super detailed. We'll see. So that's that. The other updates, you know what, I'm going to pause it for a second and then I'll get to the other updates. So, yeah, basically, the new updates are a couple things. I guess I'll get to one of the quick ones real quick. Now I kind of forgot what that was. Shoot. Well, one of them is that I started the eBay thing. And I don't think I've talked to you guys about this yet. Yeah. Oh, the other update is I am going to make a commitment, at least to myself, and I guess to you guys, I might as well just extend it, to do this podcast weekly. It's not as hard, now that I got some of the technical stuff that's where it was holding me back before, you know, figured out, and I still have more. I need to get like a better mic to do interviews and stuff so it sounds better and all that and whatever. There's other things. But for the most part, you know, things aren't as pain in the butt as they were. So, you know, I'm going to do this weekly. I'm making a commitment to do it, and now I'm getting almost a buffer at this point today. I'll have like a buffer for 1 week, but I'm going to try to post them on the weekend so that they're, you know, you may or may not listen to them on the weekend, but they'll be ready for you on Monday, you know, because I know if you're like anything like me, I listen to podcasts during the week while I'm driving. Or, you know, a lot of people listen while they're exercising, or there's a lot of different things, but usually I feel like I listen more to things on the week, during the week, you know. It kind of makes life, you know, the hard parts of life better, I guess. And then the weekend's the fun part, right? Or supposed to be. I've had some bad weekends before, but that's for sure. But, you know, that's the part where a lot of times it seems like the internet is kind of quiet too. On the weekends. I'm trying to figure out what this stupid thing is like rattling. Okay, I think that's done. So, yeah. No, so the weekend is better. What was I talking about? I don't know. But anyways, so yeah, I'm going to be trying to post these so they're ready for you on Mondays. And, you know, you can decide whenever you want during the week when to listen to them, obviously. Because you control your own destiny. So anyways, I guess I'm a little goofy today for some reason. But, my other update is eBay, like I was saying. You know, I started putting some art and stuff up on eBay. Trying to sell art on the eBays is, you know, something I have done before in the past, but I only did a few things. I was doing some sketch covers. And I also tried to put art up on Etsy before, too, with very little success. I wonder if I even sold anything. I'll have to look at my Etsy store and see if I sold anything ever. I don't know. I know I remember just trying and trying and trying for a long time, a few months, and paying, you know, a few cents here and there for listings and not getting anything. And that's kind of how it's going right now, too. I actually did technically sell one thing, the Kill Bill sketch card that I did. I am selling that now. I mean, because one person put a bid in, but I mean, I lowered the price down. It's the one I lowered down to the least amount of money, $3 for the first starting bid and free shipping, you know, hoping that it would go up. And but it was probably the least well done sketch card, so I was just like, I put that one down to $3, I put the other ones down to $5. Still not getting any bites, and it's weird, like, I get a lot of views on some of them, like, I did one Star Wars one, it got, like, 60-something views, and all the other ones just get, like, 4 or 5 views, usually, but I did the Star Wars one, it got, like, 60-something views, and then I just did this Groot painting, Groot from, Guardians of the Galaxy, and, you know, I got, actually, I think it's up to 114 views I've seen so far. So, you know, because the movie's so popular, or so, you know, it's coming in a couple weeks or whatever. People are really interested in getting Groot art, I guess. I don't know, or Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. And so that's cool. So I might try to do some more Guardians of the Galaxy stuff in the next couple weeks. We'll see. But that's kind of part of what this whole thing I'm exploring is, you know, and I know this is, you know, it's a debatable subject, intellectual properties, you know, they're not ones that I own, and, you know, I'm trying to sell stuff from it or whatever, and, you know, it is what it is. I'm trying it out. It's, you know, something I've mostly avoided most of my life trying to do, but I don't know. I just haven't had a lot of success in other areas, so I'm trying it out. So yeah, that's about it, really. And I'm having fun doing it. You know, to me, they're experiments anyways. Like, I'm doing a lot of experimentation, trying different mediums, trying some things I learned from watching Jeff's videos and from watching other people, Will Terrell's videos, you know, and a bunch of other people. And, you know, I'm watching a lot of tutorials lately and stuff, so I'm doing a lot of experimenting with art mediums and stuff. So I'm just kind of using these intellectual properties as an avenue to learn, you know, and then I'll throw, if it, you know, comes out decent, I'll throw it up on eBay and see if it sells. And, you know, and then maybe, and I'll probably do some experimenting with stuff that's, you know, my own stuff too. But, I mean, it seems like it's got to be, like, super popular for it to get any traction. Like, all the other stuff I did, nobody really cared about. I put a Star Wars thing up, and it got kind of a lot of views. But still, nobody bought it, you know. Lower the price on these things, and still nobody buys them. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to keep going, and, I really dig Jeff's YouTube because he's been, you know, a lot of people have been asking him about this stuff because he does well, you know, on eBay. He pretty much sells everything that he puts out there. So, something just fell off a truck and then another big truck just smashed it. Fun. It was just a little plastic thing, but damn. Anyways, so he's been doing well, and he's been giving people some advice here and there, and on his YouTube, he said, you know, he basically did this whole thing where he was talking about a train, you know, or whatever, like, as a metaphor, and, you know, it's tough to get the ball rolling, you know, it's really heavy, like, steel cars and stuff, and, you know, they have loads that are super heavy, so it's tons and tons of weight, you know, and so it takes a lot of, like, fire and explosions and things going on within the engine for it to even start and even move 1 inch, but once it moves a couple inches or whatever, you get momentum, and it becomes easier and easier and easier, and then eventually it just takes a little bit of the engine work to just keep that thing going because the momentum's going. So he said that's, you know, kind of the way a lot of how it is with art and stuff. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's really hard to get your first few sales, but once you start getting your first sale or two, you know, it's going to be a little easier, and you need to kind of gain a following on eBay. Like, you get to the point where people start following you because there's ways you can follow a seller and stuff, and then you get repeat business from people, and, you know. So, I'm looking to build that, you know, and he says, you know, just keep going, and another thing is find out where your audience is, find out where people are, who, you know, might want your stuff, you know. You know, I'm trying to sell Orange is the New Black drawings, people from that, you know. I need to find, I probably should find a Facebook group or something that is into Orange is the New Black. Maybe there's a podcast out there, maybe there's, you know, a forum out there that's fans, because it is kind of got a bit of decent following. I don't know if it's got a quote-unquote cult following yet or not, but seems like a lot of people dig it. People like the drawing I put up, you know, but at the same time, I'm only reaching the same people, you know, and I don't have the hugest audience, so, you know, if, like, 5 people dig it, how many of those people are going to actually buy it? Well, the answer usually is 0. it usually has been. You know, you got to reach out to a lot more people. You know, you got to reach hundreds of people before you get one person who's willing to actually put money down sometimes, you know. Sometimes even more. That's one thing I think we don't get. We don't try hard enough to build a big enough audience sometimes. And not that you have to build a super huge audience. You can make a lot of money off of a few people. You know, and that might sound a little crass, but I'm just saying, you know, in business purposes, you know, it doesn't take always a lot, you know, of people, but you do need to build your specific kind of niche and stuff. So, you know, I'm going to just keep plugging away at this eBay thing and see if I can figure it out. And, you know, some people complain that, you know, you're never going to get, like, really huge sales on eBay, you know. You know, if you're lucky, you might get a couple $100s or something. That's, like, about, I don't know, maybe people are selling even more. Probably people are, but, you know, so that's fine. You know, I mean, then don't do, you know, I guess work. I don't know. I don't know. Really, your art is really worth what people are willing to pay for it. So, you know, I mean, you see these galleries and stuff, and I can't help but I'll look at the price if there's a price next to the painting or whatever, and I'll be like, holy crap, you know, $3,000 or something crazy, you know, even more than that sometimes for this painting that I'm kind of like, I could probably do that, you know, or maybe if I practice, I would be able to, you know. I don't know, like, but are they really selling, and, you know, how often are they selling? I don't know, that's a whole different business model. Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe they only sell, maybe they price their paintings for $10,000 each, and they only sell 4 paintings a year. Well, that's a living. So, I don't know, maybe I'm the dumb one. I probably am. But maybe they don't sell 4 of them. I don't know. It's a tough thing to know what to do. And the stuff I do isn't the type of stuff that, you know, subject matter or anything that tends to do that anyways. You know, I'm more of an illustrative artist. And, you know, the fine art community that pays that much money for paintings, I don't, a lot of times doesn't have the greatest opinion towards stuff that's more illustrative like that. So, I don't know. But, like I said, your art is really, truly only worth what people are willing to pay for it. You know? Monetarily, at least. But at the same time, a lot of people don't get it in front of enough people for them to even find out how much it's worth, you know? So, I'm not saying if you're not selling stuff, your stuff is worth nothing. Because my stuff isn't selling, you know, at this point. But, you know, you gotta get it out there, you know? Not enough people are seeing it, probably. Anyways, I don't know. Just kind of rambling about eBay, and I don't even know what I'm talking about half the time, so that's my thoughts. I'm just gonna keep experimenting and putting stuff up there and hope something sticks, and if I see something that kind of sticks, then, you know, I'll start focusing on that, maybe, you know, and I'm doing that. That's kind of something that's fun and keeping me excited while I'm doing this comic, because, like I said, the comic has been a little rough for me to do. It's also fun. Damn, people are driving crazy. It's also fun, but, you know, it has been a little bit of a struggle because it's in the initial stages, and I'm designing characters at the same time that I'm, like, and designing a world at the same time, and learning how to draw, and all this stuff at the same time as I'm trying to tell a story. So I'm trying to do kind of way too many things at once, and it's super overwhelming, and, you know, not the funnest experience I've had with art, you know. But I'm learning how to push through. I'm learning how to treat it like a job, like a responsibility. Because honestly, everything is going to become boring at some point or become a struggle at times. You know, drawing fun stuff isn't even always fun, you know. So I have to learn how to do that and push through no matter what the emotions are doing, just like I would about every day I go into work and work 8 hours, you know. You know, I don't really ever like doing it, you know, not at least like I like sitting down and drawing, you know. But I do it and things get done and money's made, you know. So I think we need to learn how to treat our art the same way. Except for it's always going to be at least a little fun because we're doing something that we like to do. So yeah. Ramble, rant. So, you know, I'm recording this now a lot because, I don't know, I almost, like, miss it, you know? The last two episodes have been interviews. Really fun, really cool in their own right. But I almost feel like I haven't talked to you guys, you know? It's like, it's been too long. And that's another reason why I think it's definitely going to become more of a weekly thing for sure, because, I like having this time, you know, to kind of get these thoughts out and stuff, and having a break once in a while to do an interview is fun too. So, but I like kind of expressing myself in this way and trying to figure this stuff out with you guys. So, you know, it's going to become weekly. It already has been weekly for the last few weeks anyways. And yeah, and like I said, I'm, you know, almost putting a buffer together here because I just feel like talking, you know. I want to talk to you guys about stuff, and I get ideas sometimes. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to say sometimes, and that's, I think, why I focus on trying to do a couple of interviews and stuff, because I was starting to get a little bit like, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about this week, but I want to put something out, so... You know, that's probably a good thing to have those things to oscillate back and forth to. So let's get into topic, because I'm starting rambling a little too much here. And the topic is... What's the topic? What was I thinking would be the topic? Oh, basically, are we... is our art, like, and I've already talked about this kind of thing before in different podcasts, but I'm revisiting it, I guess. But is art, doing our art and stuff, selfish? That's kind of the general idea of what I want to talk about, but, you know, basically, the reason I'm thinking about this is, and it does relate to a lot of the updates and stuff too, especially the eBay stuff. Is, you know, we create these things, and Jamie Gamble just put up a post, and, oh man, I really hope I remember to put this in the show notes, but I'll do my best to, is, he just put up a new blog post, and I think it was titled, let's see, what was it titled, comic, something like really bold. It was like comics don't make money or something like that. And you know, he talked about something that I've expressed on this show as well, something I totally agree with, and I think is interesting and actually freeing and helpful, you know, to know. But it's the idea that, you know, a lot of us, we have these ideas, we have these stories, we're all excited, we get all excited about it, we're, you know, into it, we just want to make comics, we love comics, but comics is not a good money making avenue to make money. You're lucky if you break even. But a lot of us, if we're really honest with it and with the time we've put in and the you know, even just the art supplies or whatever supplies we put into it, the printing fee amount, money, and all that stuff, a lot of times we look at the printing and you know, compare the printing to the sales, but there's a lot more that goes into it. And even just the printing to the sales, a lot of times we lose money. But for the most part, if we're honest with ourselves, comics is, we usually lose money, you know, more than gain money. Unless you're doing something with the main two, then, you know, you might be getting paid for what exactly you do, but probably not getting paid a lot. It's almost impossible to make a living unless you're like super famous. Sorry guys, had to take a second to drink. My throat was drying out. So really tough to make a living in comics unless you're, you know, Robert Kirkman or, you know, Rob Liefeld, Eric Larson maybe, I don't know, McFarlane, but he makes money doing toys, I don't know, you know, even the people who make money doing comics, they probably do better selling t-shirts for their comics or something, you know, or whatever it is they do. Web comics maybe, you know, there's been more people making a living off of that, but even then, you know, it's affiliate links and stuff and products they sell that aren't necessarily the comics. The comics are for the most part free, or then they collect them into a book and that might make a little money, but I'm sure that's not their primary source of income if they're making a living off of it. Yeah, it's just not, it's never been like a super lucrative thing, except for like some of the, well, that's not true, you know, definitely in the 90s there was, you know, to the point where it got almost pretty much gluttonous, the 90s glut, you know, but, you know, and then there were times where things were booming and stuff for Marvel and DC and stuff, but, you know, even then, you know, they talk about, you know, in some of these documentaries and stuff like that, like, you know, Marvel actually, even sometimes in their heyday, they were making more money with, you know, they were basically a magazine company. They don't really, didn't care about the content necessarily. They just kind of knew that we're trying to make stuff for kids. And the people who ended up caring maybe were like the writers, maybe the editors and the artists, you know. They probably cared more, but they made less money, you know. It's kind of crazy how that all works. But, you know, it's interesting too because, you know, they were a magazine company. They also had other magazines going besides comics, you know. You know, it was initially called Timely Comics. And, you know, they had different names that they worked on the same company pretty much under. And different, like, divisions. And the other divisions usually made more than the comics. Now it's kind of become, I don't know, I'm assuming for Marvel it's probably their main thing now. Like, and, you know, they do the movie deals and this and that and all that, but yeah, but even then, you know, they probably make more money on the movies than they do on the comics, you know, altogether, you know, who knows, I don't know how it all works, but, you know, and I talked about the stuff recently with the episode where I was talking about the friction between business and art, and that's always a common theme, something I'm always kind of learning and trying to figure out, but I think that the distinction I made in that episode is, the more and more I think about it, the more, you know, I just, it's still interesting to me, and it's still something I'm trying to figure out, because, like, you know, the idea that, you know, good business a lot of times is starts with the customer and starts with, you know, your audience and what they need and what they want, you know. And then you cater a product to that. And when you do that, you're making, you know, it's not as hard to market because you literally just have to let people know, you know, that it exists and they'll almost automatically buy it, you know. Because it's hitting a need or a desire so strongly that, you know, it's just almost automatic. But us as artists, we don't approach our art that way. We just rarely do. And then if you do try to follow trends, oftentimes, and I talked about this in the Jeff Lafferty interview, it's almost like cannibalistic. Like, we'll criticize each other and, you know, slander each other because, you know, you're following trends, that's not real art, you know, you should be doing it from the soul and not caring about the money, do it for the love and this and that. And I mean, I believe that too, but it's already there, it's already automatic for, in my opinion. I've been doing it for the love forever, I'm always going to, you know, but I think we criticize the following trends thing too much, you know, and we criticize what each other does. And, you know, it's so hard to make a living doing art, no matter, even if all you do is popular, pop culture references and popular, you know, properties and stuff that are not owned by you. Even then, it's going to be a lot of hard work to make an actual living doing it, you know? But it's a lot easier because you're hitting the market with stuff that they want. I'm not saying that it's right, necessarily. I'm just saying that, you know, that's one way to go. And the thing is, when we sit here and we get all into, you know, what we want to make and what our inspirations are, and, you know, we're not thinking about the customer. We're not thinking about an audience. And in some ways, I wonder if we're shooting ourselves in the foot, you know? There's that saying, do what you love and the money will follow. And I kind of believe that, but I think sometimes that's not 100%. I don't think it's 100% truth. I think it's partly true. Like it can be taken to an extreme where, I mean, I've done what I love for years, and the money hasn't followed. So I guess that's what I'm talking about. That's the evidence right there. I know a lot of other people have too. I mean, it's not a common thing that artists make a living with their art. And when they do, it's usually in illustration, graphic design, storyboarding. Again, not doing what their specific passion is, you know? Meaning their own creations. But they, when you're an artist, you love to even just do the art, you know, I think. We're drawn to it just for even that. So you are doing what you love, in a sense, but, you know, I don't know. So, but I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing these things, you know. That's why I love this 100 Days of Comics thing, or the 100 Days thing. And the way I'm doing it isn't quite lining up with what I'm saying here, but, you know, for example, like Kevin Cross doing it, you know, taking out time every day to work on something that is your own dream and your own passion and your own vision. I think that if we do make a living doing work for other people, or if we, you know, doing art for other people, or if we make a living doing whatever, or if we're in school or whatever, we should always, always, now and forever, I will be doing this. Well, I might have to kind of wait a little bit, sort of, but I kind of am. I mean, I'm doing the Travelers, so it is my project. So I guess I really am, but, but, you know, from now on, I'm gonna make that a priority, that I do a little bit for my own stuff every day, because what you're doing when you're doing that is you're building, you know, kind of a portfolio, you're building, like a brand and stuff. A lot of people don't like the word brand. I don't mind it. But, you know, you're building awareness about what you do. So you do have to keep working on your own stuff. A good example of that that I'm thinking of is like Eddie Crosby to me. You know, I don't know, maybe some of the stuff he's doing is for clients and he just doesn't say it, or maybe he does say it and I don't pay attention, I don't know, but it seems to me that most of the stuff I see him post up is stuff that is right along the lines of stuff he just wants to draw, and I don't know, I actually want to see about getting him on the podcast, and probably by the time you hear this, I'll already have asked him and stuff, so... but, you know, I feel like people must be, in my opinion, if I was somebody with money, I don't know, I feel like people are probably clamoring for his art now, because he keeps putting amazing work out, but I think he's just doing it for himself, but that's like, that's portfolio, that's like your resume right there, and I'm sure he's getting people requesting him to do work. I don't know, maybe he even makes a living doing it. I don't know. But his stuff is amazing. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, make amazing art that you really love. And you know, maybe that way the money will follow. But he's not doing any anybody else's properties besides his own when I see this, from what I can see and from what I can tell. I mean, usually, he sent me a painting he did of Bruce Lee. That's the only thing I can think of that he's done. But other than that, you know, was touching on something that wasn't his own intellectual property, basically. So, but he's got, like, the style, you know, that really is unique and like when you see it, you know it, and you know it's very influenced by, you know, some popular old styles, and very influenced by old movies and sci-fi and stuff, old school sci-fi, and a lot of the designs of those 50s 60s type of thing, I think, but you know, modernized, I think personally. So to me, it's absolutely amazing, and also the craft that's put into it is very well done, and, you know, I aspire to be that good with my craft, you know, but, you know, in my own style, I'm not trying to draw like him necessarily, but, you know, really amazing work, so, you know, do what you love in the money will follow. Well, the only thing is, like, comics are so involved, and it's like, you might do what you love, you might be writing the story that you love, but is there an audience out there for it? Does anybody else, are they interested at all? Like, I don't know, you know, like, you might find, a lot of times us artists, we find a following with other artists who, you know, if we're looking at that, yeah, those guys like it, but they're not the ones who are going to buy it, or if they are, you know, it kind of is silly, because you're, I mean, it's cool, like, I buy other artists' stuff all the time, but am I really the audience? Like, it's like, I buy stuff from them, and other people buy stuff from me, and they're we're all artists and none of us are actually really making money, you know? It just tends to kind of be like that a lot. So we create the product first before we even find out if there's an audience a lot of times. And so that's what I'm saying is, like, is art selfish, you know? And is there ways that we can be selfless or target markets without basically selling out? I mean, and are we selling out if we try to, you know, jump on trends? I don't really know. To me, I kind of don't like that term sellout, you know, because I don't know. I mean, people always talk about sellouts, but then maybe they're doing, like, you know, they're doing something for a living. And most of the time, they're probably not doing their own art. Even the people that we all watch, like, the stuff we're all into, like, and influenced by, wasn't, you know, almost rarely, if ever, was done as a personal project that became big. There's a few examples. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Hellboy. I mean, what else? I don't know. There's probably a few others. But for the most part, the stuff you see that gets super popular was created to service a market. You know, pretty much all the Marvel characters were. You know, but at the same time, there is this certain magic. Like, the Marvel characters that are big now are the ones that Stan and Kirby created, you know, at a time where it was like, well, the ship's sinking, so let's do whatever the heck we want. And then that stuff blew up. So there's that aspect of it. So, okay, maybe we should do what we want. You know, it's really tricky. You know, I mean, at least I hope you guys can agree with me that it's really tricky. I'm going to pause it here. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's really tricky. And, you know, just some other thoughts, some other examples, I guess, is like, you know, a lot of us are people within the community are really influenced by like old Saturday morning cartoons and stuff. Well, I mean, I gotta look into it some more to see where the initial inspiration for these came about, but you know, I'm assuming that a lot, I mean, some of these were like literally you know, made to sell toys, you know, like He-Man and stuff, and Transformers and stuff. I mean, the cartoon is made as basically a big commercial for the toys, and it hits a market, and I mean, a lot of these big businesses and stuff, they do, like, tests and stuff. Like, they'll create something, and then, you know, they'll test it in, like, only a certain area or a few areas just to see, you know, what catches, what doesn't, and then kind of refine it. And then they'll, you know, put it in a bigger area or then maybe all across the world if it seems to be catching. You know, and these are animations, whatever, you know, that's how they used to, I mean, maybe not so much anymore, I don't know, maybe stuff that's on Cartoon Network probably is just creators making stuff they want to make. They're not probably really thinking of the audience first necessarily, but how much money are they making? I don't know. Are they doing well? They must be, because they're still pretty big as a network. But how about the individual shows? Are they making money? I don't know. It's something to ponder, something to look into. And you know what? I want to do a lot of interviews and stuff. Maybe I should try to seek some of these people out, you know? Even some of the bigger people, you know? But I feel like I need to get better, at least a better microphone. And it would be nice if I had more opportunity and time. I don't have a lot of time. So to try to get somebody bigger on the show, you know, there's some roadblocks, but, you know, maybe I should try anyways. Maybe I should stop the excuses and just try. You know, even maybe just creators who are creating some of these products. You know, I want to get into this business. Like, I want to understand what the heck is going on around in this business. You know, what's working and what's not. And I'm not afraid to explore jumping on some trends and stuff. You know, because I'm still going to enjoy it. I'm still, whatever the trend is, or the audience I'm trying to work towards, I'm still going to do whatever it is I'm doing in my own way and bring my own, you know, heart into the stories and whatever it is I'm doing, you know? I mean, He-Man was made for a product and, you know, was probably created to hit a certain audience and all that. But there was heart in that show, you know? Somebody, you know, and you guys probably know the names of these people, I don't know. But somebody, you know, created this thing. And they didn't just say, you know, I'm just making this, I'm doing my job, and I gotta leave, you know? They created it and put heart into it. So that, you know, there's even a lesson with it and... I don't know, like He-Man is not just a big strong guy. He's a big strong guy with a heart of gold, basically, you know? And maybe, I don't know, maybe it is only to pander to a certain audience because, you know, they wanted to be sensitive to the parents, so they didn't have He-Man actually bash somebody's face in or something, you know? You know, I don't know. But to me, we all dig that. A lot of us dig that show, you know, and remember it from growing up. And so the point is, artists are going to bring the art to it, whether they, you know, are doing exactly what they love in their own 100%, their own creations, or whether they're working on somebody else's thing. And they kind of make it their own, you know what I mean? So that's kind of, I'm not going to be afraid to play with trends a little bit and see if I can catch on to some things. And I think that's a less selfish way anyways to do this stuff, you know? I did Glyph, that's kind of my thing, that's like a selfish thing but it's like what I'm into. I love art. I mean, I love hip-hop, and I want to mix the hip-hop and the comic books because I love both. So I did that, and I like graffiti art, and so everything in Glyph is all about hip-hop and comic books, so that's what that is. But, you know, people dig it, but, you know, is it something that is pointed towards any specific audience? Well, you know, people who read comics and people who listen to hip-hop, yeah, I guess that's the audience, but, you know, it will catch on a little bit because people are into stuff that I'm into, you know? So there's that, and that is something that people say to do. So, I don't know, you know, it's a tough balance, and so I do want to try and see if I can put my influences and my passion into things that maybe are more marketable, not just as a money grab either. Like, it's not that, like, crass. It's just me wanting to make a living doing what I love, you know, and finding ways to do that. But I don't want to, it's really tough because I don't really want to be an illustrator, you know. I don't feel like, you know, if I do get popular with my art, you know, people might contact me about doing illustration work, and I think I'd be, you know, I'll figure it out as I go along, but I think I'd be more interested in maybe doing, like, commissions and stuff, which I'm always really, kind of always open for commissions, so if you guys are interested, let me know. We could discuss a price. I gotta get, like, a commission price thing up on my website at some point, but, kind of figuring out what I would even do yet. We'll see. But anyways, you know, those are kind of fun things, but I don't really know that I want to do much more than that. You know, I don't really want to do illustration work that much. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if it's something that I'm really into and it looks fun and it's not super hard, like, I don't want to be caught up in, like, logo design and, like, I don't know, I almost want to hire other people to do my logo, you know? Or, like, book cover design. I don't know. I just don't want to work on stuff that I'm not interested in. And, I mean, I don't have to right now. And I'd like to build towards something where I won't have to. And there you go with the selfish artist thing, you know. Maybe that's what's shooting me in the foot, you know. I don't know. So I'm going to explore it. I'm going to play around with it. You know, maybe I'll draw a bunch of pictures of cats. Probably won't work, though, because you have to have some heart in it. You have to be... I mean, I do. I like my cats. I'm into them. You know, I post pictures of them sometimes. And I like seeing other people's cats. I think it's... I like doing that. You know, my wife's really into it, so I, like, kind of share that with her and stuff, but... You know, cats obviously are always big on the internet. Animals and stuff, but I don't know. We'll see. Jersey Drost does a cool comic about cats. Guys should check that out. I actually downloaded a PDF. I never read it yet, but I want to because the art is really cool. And I'm sure it's good because Jersey is just awesome. And he knows how to put a story together and all that really well. But, yeah, I guess that's it. I don't have a lot more to add about the subject and everything. So that, you know, is what I'm thinking about. And, yeah, that's about it. Thank you guys for listening. And, you know, I'll catch you on the next Escape Artist podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com next week. And, yeah, that's about it. I'll talk to you later.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at DonkeyJawProjects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to Patreon.com/Plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.